What's up, guys? I'm Chris Holdsworth, and this is the MMA Rundown brought to you by FanDuel. We're going to talk about one topic for 3 minutes and move on to the next one. Today, I'm joined by UFC welterweight Max Griffin. Let's go. All right, first topic we're going to talk about is the UFC Fight Night review. Whitaker's performance over Gastelum. Man, Whitaker impressed me once again. I called it on our previous fight pick show. I thought his speed, his striking was just going to be a little bit too much for Gastelum, and I was right. You know, he danced around, landed power shots over power shots, and I was surprised Calvin didn't go down because he was getting hit with some bombs. What do you think about that fight?
Yeah, Gastelum's tough. You know, he took a lot of shots, but was a gamer. Always kept coming forward, always kept throwing, always kept fighting, got that Mexican in him. But Whitaker, man, he looked like a man possessed. I mean, he had his hands down, throwing those 1-2 head kicks.
Yeah, hooks, straight punches.
Vicious. That uppercut that he landed was stupid.
His range to me was like what was really impressive. Like he was just able to dance off and pop off and land those straight shots, land those hooks when Gastelum was coming in. And man, just great performance. Of course, they probably got to get the rematch of him in Israel Adesanya. I don't see who else he can fight now. Like I think that's the fight that makes sense, and I think that's the fight fans want to see. And then we got Alex Munoz lost a decision versus Pena. Man, super close fight. You know, of course, we wanted our guy Alex Munoz to win. I thought he did enough to win, but I can also, you know, see where the judges thought, you know, Pena won. You know, when fights are super close like that, you can't leave it in the hands of the judges. And, you know, that's exactly what we saw. You know, split decisions, you know, they suck. Decisions suck in general. What do you think? What's your take on that Munoz fight?
You know, I like both guys. I mean, good friends with Alex, teammate. But I know Pena just through the fight game, and I like him too. But I was trying to watch as a fan of both, a friend of both. Like, I thought Alex got enough done in the first two rounds. I feel Pena could have got the third round, started kind of failing himself. But, you know, I feel like, you know, he was down two rounds. And then for him to say on the mic that, oh, he was confident, that's BS.
Yeah, it was super close. Like, we got, what, 4 takedowns Alex did. And, you know, Pena did a great job with jumping right back to his feet. And I think we really got to work on getting takedowns and landing damage once we get the takedowns, or at least keeping position once we get the takedown. Because if the judges just see a quick takedown, the guy jumps back up, they might not really score it as much as they, you know, as they used to. But overall, man, great fight. I think Alex just needs to brush it off, you know, work on some things, and he's going to get right back in there. And then we had the Jeremy Stephens fight. Man, crazy, crazy. That had to get pulled from the card. His opponent had, you know, neck issues and concussion issues. If you guys don't know, during the weigh-ins, they got pretty close face-to-face, and Jeremy Stephens gave him a huge push. And it looked like the guy got some whiplash when I watched the video. Did you get to see that?
Yeah, I saw when it happened. Jakar got pushed kind of hard, and you know, watching that thing in the morning made me want to. I couldn't wait to watch that fight. I couldn't wait. They wanted to take each other out, but to hear, you know, that Jakar had, you know, kind of like concussion symptoms and was trying to get through it, it did sound like whiplash. And I hope they could rebook it, because I know Jakar wants to have smoke.
Yeah, man, that sucks, and it's unfortunate, you know, that happened. Both of those guys lost an opportunity, but it is what it is. Hopefully it gets rescheduled. All right, moving on to the next topic. Jake Paul, huge KO over Ben Askren. Man, all right, well, I'm going to just say I called it. You know, I got some friends that are trying to say it was a controversial stoppage, or, you know, he got paid out because he was smiling after the thing with his wife. But let's be real, Max. I know as a former fighter, as a coach, that was not an early stoppage. That was not staged. You know, Jake did a great job of, you know, setting up that overhand right with those body punches. He was going jab to the body. He was going straight to the body. And Ben, you know, as soon as those hands started coming down, Jake timed him. That first overhand barely missed. And he just adjusted his range a little bit, and it landed perfectly on the temple and put him down. And if you rewatch the video, when the referee asked Ben to walk forward after that second time, he was still stumbling. And it was a great job, in my opinion, by the ref of calling that out, because he would have just took some big punches and probably got finished even worse. What do you think about how that went down?
What a spectacle. You know, for the MMA gods, I was hoping that Ben would somehow, I don't know, Jake would slip and, you know, hit his head or something. I don't know. I wanted Ben Askren to win, even though I can't stand Ben Askren, his antics in general. But Jake did the damn thing. You know, he boxed him well. Like you said, going to the body, dropping the hands, open that up, open that overhand up, and so quick.
Yeah, well, let's keep it real. Like, Ben Askren probably has one of the worst, you know, some of the worst hands in MMA. And Jake knew what he's doing. He's a smart kid. He called out a guy who's had two hip surgeries, who's almost 40 years old, if not 40 years old, that was retired. And has I'm not going to say horrible striking, because he got, you know, a lot done in his MMA career, but he didn't have the best striking for, you know, an MMA fighter. He was a wrestler. Everyone knows him for his wrestling. So, you know, Jake did, he was smart. He did the right thing by calling him out and making that fight happen. But what's next for Jake Paul? Everyone's calling him out now. I saw BJ Penn called him out. I saw a few other fighters call him out. I want to see Nick Diaz. Like, I know people are saying Nate Diaz, but I think Nick jumping back in there off this long layoff, jumping back into the boxing ring, I think that would be an epic buildup and even more of pay-per-views than Ben Askren, in my opinion. So that's the fight I want to see. Who do you think Jake, you know, needs to fight next?
I saw DC. He was calling out DC, calling out all these guys. DC was said that when he gets to Vegas, he's going to talk to Dana. He wants to have a current UFC guy with hands fight Jake Paul, you know?
Yeah, because, like,
I mean, I said I'd do it.
Dana's probably pretty upset. I know he bet some big money. Dana White bet some big money with Snoop Dogg. You know, Snoop was going crazy. $2 mil, Dana, $2 mil. And so I assume they made a bet of somewhat over the Jake Paul, Ben Askren. And I know the competitor Dana is. He's going to want some sort of rematch. He's going to send his big boys to fight Jake Paul. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, next topic. Let's talk about Jeremy Stephens pushing Drakkar Close. Close suffers cervical sprain, a concussion. I read an article that he felt numbing in his arm right away after the push. He felt neck pain right after the push, and later in the day he started to have nausea, and you know, he had to just go into a dark room. And if you know anything about concussions, you know that's, you know, that's a sign of a post-concussion syndrome or a concussion in general. So, man, it's crazy he's got to pull out. And in my opinion, guys, you got to be careful pushing guys at weigh-ins. Like, get in their face, you know, sell the fight, but pushing a guy super hard like that when he's not expecting it, you know, stuff can happen. You know, neck, like we see here, stuff can happen. So let's see it get rescheduled. And what's your take on that? Like, as far as selling the fight, like, keep your hands off the guy, or what do you think?
You know, he pushed the crap out of dude, and, you know, you know, there has to be something we can do, something that can be done with stopping this. I mean, yeah, you could get in each other's face, but when you cause injury, when you hurt a guy's neck and he has to pull out, I mean, both guys have the, you know, didn't fight, all the money that's put in all this stuff and the time, it's just BS that we got to try to avoid.
Yeah, like when I was going into a fight, I wanted to, you know, make the least amount of mistakes with my training, least amount of mistakes with my weight cut, and even the lead up. Like, I was careful of, like, where I stepped, you know, what I stepped on, because we've seen it happen before. Like Tony Ferguson, when he tripped over those wires and he blew out his knee. Like, stuff will happen. Crazy stuff does happen. And man, we got to be careful. We got to make sure we make it to the payday. Because if you don't make it to the payday, you're not getting paid. So, you know, I think, guys, it's important to sell fights, but maybe get in each other's face, you know, flick him in the forehead, you know, do something like that. But I think big pushes like Jeremy did needs to stop.
And, I mean, he pushed the crap out of
he pushed
dude.
Hard.
That's probably one of the hardest pushes I've ever seen.
Yeah,
He disappeared from frame on the camera.
Yeah, and I don't know if there was beef beforehand, if there was trash talk or what, but... Like I said, like, we just need to keep keep our hands off the opponent, and not do anything crazy to jeopardize the fight. You know, now both the guys didn't get paid. The UFC had to mix the card around because, you know, now a whole fight's out. So they need to fix that. All right, let's check it out. Big push.
Is. Hands behind his back, too.
Ooh.
Hands behind your back kind of puts your neck and your spine kind of in a weird...
Yeah, yeah.
For me right now, I'm doing it. It kind of puts you in a weird stance. So that could have been part of it, too. His hands were both behind his back when he got pushed.
Exactly, exactly.
I didn't see that till right now. He was like this and then got pushed.
Yeah,
you know?
That makes your whole your body in a different position. So that sucks, man. Hopefully they get that rebooked. All right, moving on to the next topic. Tough 29 fighters announced. This hit home for me, you know, with the whole Ultimate Fighter coming back, and we got a few guys from the team on the show. So there's going to be 8 bantamweights and 8 middleweights. If you guys don't know what bantamweights are, 135-pound division, and middleweights are the 185-pound weight class. Premieres June 1st, and that's a quick turnaround. Like, they're probably editing right off the bat. And the coaches are Brian Ortega versus Alex Volkanovski, which is going to be a great title fight. The epic lead up of being coaches and then moving on and actually fighting for the belt. I'm looking forward to that. So we had one of our guys, Vince Murdoch, announce he made the show. I'm pumped for Vinny. You know, if you know anything about his story, he had a mono, or I forget the disease he had where the veins got clogged and he had to have like open head, or I don't know if it was open brain surgery or open head surgery, and he's got a big scar on his head and didn't know if he was going to fight again or not. And then he had this opportunity. His wife is 5 months pregnant, so I'm super stoked for Vinny. I think today's the first day they're going to start filming and all that, so it's always cool to kind of see a teammate go through the same process I went through. I know the feelings I felt the first day, like kind of mentally getting prepared to go in there and being locked up with, you know, a bunch of other dudes in a house and fighting in front of everybody. So good luck, Vince. I think you're well prepared. And then we had another guy, Ricky is on the show as well. He trained with us for a long time, and you know, he's another, you know, stud up and comer, brown belt, I think now. Maybe he got his black belt, I'm not sure. So this is gonna be a cool dynamic. Let's see if they're on the same teams. Let's see on the different teams. I'm definitely looking forward to watching this season. Are you an Ultimate Fighter fan, Max?
Yeah, man. I'm a big Ultimate Fighter fan. I was actually kind of on the Ultimate Fighter, Tough 16. No, I fought to get in the house, but I lost to get into the house.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, these judges, man. the thing, man. But yeah, you know, it's good to, you know, for these guys to get in there, especially Vince. He's been through so much, he needs to get in there.
Yeah, he's 11-5 record. He didn't have the greatest performance in his contender fight, but I'm happy to see that they're giving him another opportunity. I hope he wins the whole show. And there's 8 middleweights. I'm not sure what middleweights are on there. I'm paying attention. You know,
my boy Ryder Newman's on there.
Okay.
From, you know, anybody else Extreme that's on Couture. There? That's the only name I really recognized.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta look Extreme at those names as well. But
shout out to Ryder.
I'm excited to see the coaches, like, what, you know, who Brian Ortega is gonna bring. He's probably gonna bring, you know, longtime friend Henner and Hedon Gracie, his jiu-jitsu coaches, and then of course Alex Volkanovski is gonna bring his City Kickboxing guys, and maybe even some of the guys from Tiger Muay Thai. They have great coaches as well. So I'm super pumped for Tough 29. Make sure you guys watch that. Premieres June 1st. Thanks for watching the MMA Rundown brought to you by FanDuel. Please don't forget to like this video and subscribe to our channel. We'll see you next time.